Wow, y'all sounded good this morning, by the way. Not like my froggy throat here. Got that kind of allergy thing going on right now. Anybody else got that going on? Gosh, don't you just like hate that? Well, hey, we are in the midst of our summer read message series where I'm attempting to put some great books into your hands, some books that I'm hoping and praying that God will use to help kind of just be the catalyst for your faith, that will strengthen your faith, deepen your faith, move you in this place where your faith is not just something that you come and do on Sunday mornings. It's not just something that is compartmentalized or defined by a certain place, but is a holistic thing that affects and touches every aspect of our life. And I can't think of another attribute of our faith that does this in such a poignant way as prayer. And so we have been, the second book in this series that we've been using is Adam Weber's book, Talking with God, because I am absolutely convinced that every single one of us in this room needs to stoke up our prayer life. I am convinced that every single one of us can and should do things that is going to just kind of revive or kindle that fire in us where we might be a people praying. Because I am convinced that there are things that God either cannot or will not do until and unless we pray. And so we have to be a people of prayer. And I recognize the fact that for many of us, we either didn't grow up in the church or maybe we grew up in the tradition that never taught us how to pray. Prayer is not one of those things that we pop out of the womb going, hey, got it down. But it's something that we learn to do. It's something that we become, in a sense, better at as we are talking to God and as God is talking to us. And so the kind of the foundational place that we have been working from in this book on prayer is this idea that we can talk to God. I love this quote from Mother Teresa. She says, the more you pray, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes, the more you'll pray. That's good stuff. The more we pray, the easier it becomes, and the easier it becomes, the more we'll pray. Because God has been clear throughout Scripture. There is power in prayer. There are things that God is going to do because we pray. There are things that God is not going to do unless we pray. And He wants to be in this relationship with us. And the primary way we are in this relationship with Him is through prayer. So it is important, it is vital that we understand and discover the joy and the depth of what it means to be praying. And so we started a couple weeks ago with this foundation of what is prayer. Kind of sounds like a simple question, right? And it kind of maybe even sounds like we have some long, drawn out, you know, kind of deep definition for it. But I want to keep it simple. I want to demystify, so to speak, prayer. I want to move it from this place that you might have preconceived notions of what it looks like to this place where we're just doing this. We're talking to God. We are talking to God. Jesus says, I now call you my friend. And what we know about friendships and relationships is that they happen face to face, that there is talking that is going on. And so prayer is us talking to God, but it is also God talking to us. And God speaks to us through so many different ways. Sometimes we hear that audible voice of God. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people, a right word, a right encouragement, maybe even a right rebuke at the right time. God speaks to us when we serve, right? Did you guys see that when you were in Belize? Did God speak to you while you were serving and ministering in His name? God speaks to us through His word, through scripture that's the authority for our lives. If we want to know who God is and what God has for us and the kind of life He expects for us, all we got to do is open His word. And He has revealed it to us. He has revealed His heart to us. He has revealed His soul to us. And so we've got to position ourselves not just to talk to God, but we got to position ourselves to listen to God, to listen for that voice of God, how He might be speaking in our life. Last week, we talked about the fact that there are so many things that we can learn from our kids. And prayer is one of those things. Jesus had this interaction when the children were all coming and wanting to like crowd around and be by Jesus. And the disciples were like, hey, would you guys just get out of the way? And they were like, hey, we gotta get these kids out of the way. And Jesus says, no. Let them in. And then he takes it pretty deep and he says, and by the way, I not only want you to let them in, but you gotta be like them. Now I don't know about you, but there are times in my life if somebody said to me, I gotta be like my kids, I'd be like, you don't know my kids. Right? Anybody else can identify? But there's just something about that naivete. There's something about that truthfulness. There's something about that honesty. There's something about that like your kid stands up and on a high thing and your dad or your mom, you're standing there and you're like, jump. And you know they're going to jump because they trust you, right? Because we're going to take care of them. We're going to just protect them. And so some of these things that we can learn from kids, I think with prayer, what we talked about last week, and if you missed last week, we'd encourage you to listen to the sermon online, but three things that I lifted up to you, what prayer can be. Again, I want to demystify this. Some of you grew up in a tradition that you had to have your eyes closed, head bowed, hands clasped, or you had to pray in a certain way or use certain words or be in a certain position or be in a certain place. And we want to just kind of wipe all that away because that sections off and compartmentalizes off God. And we don't want to do that. We want to bring God into everything. And so one of the lessons that we learn about prayer, and we learn it from kids, is that prayer can be short. You don't have to go on and on and on. As a matter of fact, Jesus kind of condemned some of those people, some of those religious leaders, who just like, he called it babbling on and on and on and on. We can keep it short. We can just like lift up those short prayers. God, it got help. We can say, hey, God, I need some wisdom here. We can say, hey, God, I need a little strength for this situation right here. It can be short prayers like, God, would you just bless her today? It can be prayers like, hey, God, I see that my coworker here, they're not having a good day. So, God, would you just help them have a good day? Again, they can be short. They can be simple. We don't have a specific language to talk to God because he's our friend. That means we get to use our everyday language. If you want to know what that's like, read the book of Psalms. David goes from the full gamut of just literally raising his hands and praising God and saying, hey, the heavens declare your glory and your majesty, and it is all good and it is all wonderful. And on the other extremes, he says, hey, God, would you just like take out my enemies? And what that teaches us is that we can bring the full expression of who we are and what we are to God. That God, because he just longs to be in this relationship with us, that we can share with God what we need to share with him, that we can make it so simple and we can make it honest. There's just something freeing about being honest with God and just lifting it up before God. And again, we talked about all that last week, about what that looks like, how to be short, simple, and honest again, because what we want to do is we want to teach you how to weave prayer into the fabric of your life so that it can be this ongoing conversation, because the Bible has something to say about that. As a matter of fact, the Bible has a lot to say about the kind of character that we should display to the world. Now, there's this amazing little three-word scripture that we're going to talk about today, but I want to back up just a little bit because I want to see where its context is and what surrounds it. Because see, as followers of Jesus, you and I are supposed to be different. If we say that we are Jesus followers, if we say we're disciples or we say we're Christians, we should be different. We should talk different. We should live different. We should like different. We should love different. And in this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:14-18, the Bible sets out some of the character attributes of a Christ follower. The Apostle Paul says, brothers and sisters, hey, that's us. We urge you to warn those who are lazy Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always tries to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And again, so before we talk about this little three-word like admonition in there about praying, I just want to kind of come back and just circle around, because as we are becoming the men and women that God created us to be, we have this realization that we are supposed to be different as Jesus followers, so that we might show the world a better way, so that we might show the world who it is, what we believe in, contained in these verses. And I'm not going to really unpack them. I'm just going to lift them up because maybe one of them needs to speak to you today. We are supposed to encourage one another. Man, as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to come along and encourage one another. Said, hey, come on, keep going. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. We are supposed to take care of one another. I love it when I see our folks caring for one another, providing meals for one another, bringing one another to church, lifting up one another, just providing that care, because the church should be that place that happens. We're supposed to be patient with one another. Gosh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Because sometimes we make it really hard for people to be patient even with us, let alone them patient with us. We're supposed to do good for one another. Okay, those like are lofty things, but we can kind of get that right. Okay, I can encourage, I can take care, I can be patient, I can do good to one another. But then like the Apostle Paul is just kind of like cranking it down a few notches, like cranking it up a few notches, I guess, and just like making a little bit more pointed, because then he says like, always be joyful. Are you kidding me? Okay, that's a tough one. We'll talk about that at a later date. Be thankful in all circumstances. Again, that's kind of a hard one too, right? You're like, there's this thing to happen. Like, how do I be thankful for that? We'll talk about that at a later date. But then this one. This like, he just like slides it in there. Never stop praying. Can you say that with me? Never stop praying. Okay, anybody else going, what? Like, never? Like, never stop praying. Pray continually. Always. Never stop. How could I get anything else done? How do I never stop praying? Because it's not just a suggestion. It's actually couched in the language of a command. That we are supposed to never stop praying. Other translations say, pray without ceasing. Again, how many of us in this room, regardless of how we grew up, are like, that's impossible. There's no way I could do that. Like, I wouldn't get anything done. I'd get fired from my job. My boss would be like, what are you doing? I'm praying. Your spouse would be like, I asked you to unload the dishwasher. What are you doing? I'm praying. Like, your kids are saying, hey, come out and play baseball with me. Yeah, I'm praying. Like, how do we do this? Is this a lofty command that we can never, ever achieve? Is this just, okay, shoot for it and get as close as you can? Or is this one of those, like, command admonitions to say, hey, figure out how to just never stop praying? That's what I think he's talking about. I think he's trying to elevate that for us to say, hey, no, I want you to get to this place where you just never stop praying. And so what I hope to do in the time that we have left this morning is to give you what I think is a really simple way for us to begin to do that. Now, I will tell you, this takes time. On a 1 to 10, like, baby, I'm praying all the time. I'm probably about a 4 right now. Sometimes I'm like a 9. I'm just like, I just feel like I'm praying all the time. Sometimes, if I'm really honest, I'm about a 0. Because for some reason, there'll be days, I'd like to say just hours, I'd really like to say just minutes, but sometimes there's days, there's longer seasons where I'm like, man, did I pray? Like, other than, God, thanks for this food. Like, did I really pray? I'm like, no, man, George, you got so far to go. So I think that's good news. I hope that my confession will like bring you some good news, that this is something that we can all work towards and we can all push towards. Because again, prayer is like exercise. You've heard me say that, right? We know it's good for us, right? Man, I set this goal for myself that I want to run 5 miles a week. Well, I just re-upped that goal to 10 miles a week. And last week was the first week. Baby, I got it done. Because I know that I feel better. I know I look better. I know I sleep better. If I'm just in better shape. But no one's going to do that for me, right? Will anybody, like, wouldn't you love to say, hey, Jesse, would you just exercise for me? And be like, look at how good I look. Well, that's, like, she did it. Yeah. It doesn't work that way, right? But when we exercise, we know we feel better, right? Some of you are still sitting there going, no. You haven't exercised enough to see the benefits. And prayer is the same way. Sometimes we haven't prayed enough to see the benefits, to see what does this look like? What does this pray, never stop praying? What does this look like? So I want to give you a way today that I'm hoping will just help you move this needle, so to speak, that'll just be more possible for you. So how is it possible for us to never stop praying? Number one, I think we have to change the way we think about prayer. We have to do this whole paradigm shift. We have to change what we think about prayer. Because some of us grew up thinking, hey, this is the only way we pray. As I fall off the cliff. Some of us are like, I have no idea how to pray. Some of us look at other models and say, okay, I need a system. I need 3 points. Give me a hand. Give me something. Like, I was taught this is how you pray. And so for all that, we just got to change how we think about prayer. Because if praying, if we're supposed to do it and never stop doing it, then we got to rethink how it is that we do it, or we'll never, ever get it done. Brother Lawrence, he was this kind of monk, this guy who just, man, we read some of the things that he writes about prayer and spiritual formation. He has an amazing thing to say about prayer. He says, it is a great delusion to think that the times of prayer ought to differ from other times. Our biggest mistake is to think that a time of prayer is different from any other time. Okay, get this last line. It's all one. It is all one. That prayer is not a different time. It's not a different place. It's just part of who we are. And so what does that look like? So how do we rethink, or how do we reshape this idea of prayer and what we understand it? And I think first thing that we got to do is I actually put in your notes, we shouldn't, but then I changed it up here. We don't compartmentalize it. We just got to figure out a way to not be like, okay, I got to do my 5 minutes of prayer here and 10 minutes of prayer there. I'm going to position this out. Not that those aren't good. You need to hear that. Sometimes we need to spend extra special time in prayer, dedicated prayer, longer periods of time. But we got to not compartmentalize it. It's just part of who we are. And we also, we don't excuse ourselves for not praying. How many of you, let's be really honest, you don't have to show your hands, but I'll just look at your eyes to see if anybody's convicted. How many of you said, well, I'll pray for you, and it never did? See, we got to figure out, like, how do we excuse ourselves for not praying? Of just, by the time we lay down in our bed, and we might do our prayers, and we're like, we're starting to pray, and then we're like, God, I never talked to you today. Well, God, you know, I was so busy. I had, you know, the house is a mess. Every time I looked around, the kids were going, play with me. There was just so much to do. I was so busy. Life is so chaotic. I just didn't have time. Like exercise, right? We got to stop excusing it. We got to stop saying, I don't have time for it, because we do have time for it. We sure find time for the things we value the most, right? So we got to get to the point where we value prayer like really high, because we'll find time for it, because we'll discover that it's not a part of, it's part of. So we make time for those things that we value. So we've got to value prayer. And the idea is that the more we pray, the more we recognize our need to pray. Man, I do know that. The more I pray, the more I recognize I need to pray. Our world needs me and you to pray. The people in our lives need us to pray. The situations, experiences in our life, they need us to pray. Because Scripture is, I will tell you, is absolutely 100% clear on this point. God does things because we pray. Period. God does things because we pray. And if there isn't any other impetus for us to pray, it should be that one. Because God does things because we pray, so we should pray. So we got to change how we think about prayer. And then we also have to recognize that prayer is easier and becomes natural when it's done in the midst of life. Okay, I want to free you up this morning. I want to help you discover that prayer can be done in the midst of life. You can do it when you first open your eyes in the morning. That works great for some people. You can do it throughout your day. You can do it throughout your work. You can do it at night. You can do it when you're laying down. So it can be done in the midst of your day. There's no formula. There are no rules. You can just pray. You can just talk to God in the midst of your day. Adam Weber, in his book that we're reading, and I hope, if you haven't gotten this book, y'all need to get this book. I still have some copies out there. I do not make any profit on these. I'm putting these in our hands because I want us to be people who pray more. He says in his book that finding time to pray isn't easier for some than it is for others. Because we can all pray. We can pray driving our car. We can pray dropping our kids off. We can pray throughout our day. We can pray at lunch. We can pray for our coworkers. We can pray when we're talking to somebody on the phone. Because we can just be in this attitude of prayer. In other words, we pray in the midst of our day. Just throughout the day. We pray in the midst of our week. And as we pray in the midst of our day and we pray in the midst of our week, we discover that we're just praying in the midst of our life. Just how it's coming. Just how it's happening. God, help me here. God, show me this. God, lead me there. God, help this person. God, heal that person. God, help them discover. Sometimes our prayers are, God, just help. Sometimes our prayer is praise of what we see. I saw pictures this morning that somebody posted that showed like the sun setting yesterday. And immediately in my head, I thought, the heavens declare the glory of God. Because all we got to do is look around and see the hand of God that paints these incredible pictures for us. And I found myself just saying, God, thanks. And so we can just get to this point where prayer is just part of the fabric of our life. It happens in the midst. And so I want to help this morning by giving you what I think might be a process. It's not a plan because it's not three steps and you get it. But a process, maybe some ideas, some key concepts that maybe will help you to move to this place where you'll be praying in the midst of your day, in the midst of your week, in the midst of your life, where you're just talking more to God and listening to God. I think it starts by us being intentional. Again, it's like anything else. We got to make a decision to do it. Prayer doesn't happen by osmosis. We've got to be intentional about it. We've got to find ways to say, okay, I am going to pray today. I'm going to put it in my calendar. I'm going to put it as an alarm on my watch. I'm going to put it in my smartphone. Because if I don't become more intentional about it, by the end of the day, I'm going to be like, man, I haven't prayed. Because we just get caught up in the rat race, right? You ever get to the point where you're like, there are too many ducks in your row? You ever drive down the road and like, this happens a lot over by Sam's, right? Where these ducks are like crossing the road and all the traffic stops. Do you ever find yourself going, oh, would somebody just go? You're like, no, because it's going to hit the little duckies. But there are like so many of them. You ever feel like life gets like that? You have so many ducks that you're like, I am just never going to get it all done. You ever just feel like it's just so busy? So we just got to be intentional about it. I think another way is to initiate some reminders. Again, okay, who has a smartphone in here? This is an audience participation. How many of you have a smartphone? Like just about everybody. Do you know there's a thing that you can put alarms on there? And you can set an alarm to pray. Part of that intentionality, saying, okay, I'm going to do a 9 o'clock, a 12 o'clock, a 3 o'clock, a 6 o'clock, a 9 o'clock, or whatever works for you. Maybe you want to do it every hour, just on the hour. Ding. Oh, got to pray. So we've got to give ourselves some reminders of that to help us to pray. I think number three, we can recognize what we learned last week. We can keep it short, simple, and honest. Again, we can be driving down the road and we can instead of calling somebody a bad name, we can pray for them when they cut us off, right? We can be like, oh, Lord, would you just help them get safely because they are clearly in a hurry. That's a whole lot better than what you might be thinking, right? Okay, I'm just being honest, right? So we can start by short, simple, and honest. Number four, we can just let the words come out. Again, that's why reading the Psalms is so powerful, and I'm not a poetic guy. But I read the Psalms, and I'm like, dag, David is like raw. He is just honest. I mean, he prayed for some things, and you're like, ooh, I ain't gonna pray that. But God inhabits the prayers of his people. Now, God's not always going, he's not going to give us everything that we want, but it's in the midst of that relationship that's cultivated, that's developed, that we discover the joy of interacting with God. So just let the words come out. Pray how you would talk to a friend. Number five, pray when something reminds you of God. Like you see a picture and you're like, oh my goodness, that is beautiful. Pray when you're just like prompted by something. You see somebody and you're like, hey, and you like think of something completely different. Maybe that's an opportunity to pray. So find those times where you're reminded something of God and just pray. Number six, write prayer notes. Some of you are going, George, you covered up number six in my bulletin. Yes, I did. I did that intentionally. Because if you got a bulletin today, you have a post-it note in your bulletin. Because here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull it out and use it as a prayer tool. Now, if you work in an environment where it might be a little tough, just put a blank post-it note somewhere. You're like, what's that? Hey, it reminds me to pray. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your nightstand. Put it in a book that you're reading every day. Do something. So that's just one tool that I want to give you that is a reminder for you to pray, that you can write notes to yourself to pray. Well, I want to read something to you in Adam's book about prayer and about this idea of not compartmentalizing it, about integrating it and making it happen in the midst of your day. So I'm going to read this. It's going to be on the screen too because it's a little bit long, but I think it's pretty profound, and I think it has a lesson for us. So hear this. Instead of it being another daily chore, something changes when prayer slowly becomes as natural as breathing. When we figure out that it no longer takes energy, instead, prayer fills us with it. It allows us to be patient instead of frustrated with our kids or someone else's. Prayer makes it possible to have a positive attitude on the crappiest of days. I'm beginning to realize that unless I am in constant conversation with God, I have little love, little patience, little gratitude, and a terrible attitude on my own. Can anybody say amen? Yeah. Then he says, when prayer becomes second nature, like breathing, we gain the ability to make it through each day and whatever craziness comes our way. There's no need to fit prayer into our day because we can't imagine a day without it. We no longer have to think about praying. we just do it. Pray, never stop praying, because it centers us. It keeps us sane. It gives us strength. It carries us through. It rearranges our priorities. It fills us with joy. It covers us with peace. It allows us to extend grace. It connects us with God. Then he says this. Here's the truth. Something changes when prayer is no longer just one more thing in our day, but becomes the most important thing. Something changes when prayer is not just one more thing, but it's just a part of us. So here's my encouragement. Never stop praying. It'll change you. It'll change you. It'll make you attuned to the things of God. You will be better used by God, and you will experience an abundance of God like you've never experienced before. Never stop praying. Let's pray. God, what you've called us to do is something, we're just going to be honest, seems so big and so hard that you want us to just never stop praying. But God, when we read your word, we discover that Jesus prayed all the time. That he not only prayed throughout his day, but he found places to go away to pray because he knew that he needed to be tapped into you, his source of power, that you had so much for him. And so, God, I want to pray that you would help us to be people who never stop praying, that we would not only discover the joy of praying, but we would discover the power and the presence of you when we pray. And so, God, help us to discover what it means to never stop praying and to discover what you have in store for us. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Well, this morning we're going to celebrate communion. Communion for us is an opportunity for us to remember the mighty acts of God in Jesus Christ. It's a time for us to remember ourselves with Christ and with his body. See, in our tradition, we believe that communion is what's called a means of grace. And so we believe that we should do it as often as possible, because there's a holy mystery in communion, that when we take the bread and we take the cup and we remember what Christ has done by saying a liturgy, by rehearsing what Jesus did, it helps us to be recentered, renewed, reengaged with what God has done for us. And so when we take this bread, we remember what Jesus has done. And when we take this bread and cup, we remember ourselves with one another. Because on the night when Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he prayed that his disciples would understand that this is his body that was given for them. And he took a cup, and he gave thanks to God for it. And he said to his disciples, this is my blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So as often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts of God in Christ Jesus, we celebrate his life through communion, taking the bread and taking the cup. And in our tradition, it's the Lord's table. That means that regardless of the tradition that you come from, anyone and everyone who desires to have a relationship with Jesus is invited to receive this bread and this cup, because grace knows no bounds. Grace is extended to all. It is not always freely received by all, but it is extended to all. And so this is a means of grace for us to receive it. And so in our tradition, we say that Christ invites all to this table, all who love him and earnestly desire to be in a relationship with him. You are invited. But it's appropriate for us to confess our sin before God, recognizing that this holy meal is what he was given to us, and we need to come into his presence having confessed our sin before him. So let's pray together. God, we confess to you that we so fall short. We are not the men and women that you created us to be. We do things that we shouldn't do, and we don't do things that we should do. But this meal reminds us that your grace is sufficient, that in you we find grace embodied, that in you we find the forgiveness of all our sin, not some, not many, but all of our sin. And so, God, we just take a moment right now that we just want to confess before you maybe what you have brought to our head or to our heart that might be separating us from you right now. We just confess that boldly before you in the silence. Okay, I want you to look up here because I want you to hear this news. That God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin. That when we confess our sin before God, he forgives. That it is wiped away. So in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. And so when we take this bread and we take this cup, we invite you to receive the grace of God, to remember what he did for each of us. He did it so that we might know him and so that the world might be known of him as well. So I invited some folks to help me serve communion this morning. So if they would come up, I also want to let you know that we do have gluten-free bread. We're going to have it over at this station over here. And so you just need to let us know if that is the case.